the government, or he had some sort of governmental position, some sort of worldly power, like the Prophet Solomon and David. And, you know, his piety and his patience, his sabr, has been alluded to, his anger, his suppression of anger, has been mentioned here by the Imam. These were all of the virtues of this great man of God mentioned in the Holy Quran. And so this is also, it's interesting to, just by on a final note here, we can say that if we want to kind of, we can't really understand these kind of, the answer to these kind of questions except by reference to the Ahlul Bayt and the A'immah alayhi salam, who have been given this knowledge of the unseen regarding these individuals and these events that happened in the past, which, you know, we have no written history about. Thank you for joining us here on The Key. We were looking at the Prophet Dhul-Kifl. Until next time, wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
That was Shiraz Hussain Agha, a graduate of Islamic Seminary of Qom and a PhD in philosophy, on the program The Key on IRIB English Radio.
You can also send your questions to English Radio at irib.ir.
What you heard was an IRIB English Radio program.
First methodology that the Quran uses is to talk to the emotional side of the human being.
Ya ayyuhal ladhina amanu, O you who believe, ista'inu bis sabri was salah.
And we have set forth for mankind in this Quran full of examples.
Minbar, Minbar, a lecture on Islamic issues.
Islam is a way of life, a complete way. It's a complete way.
Dear listeners of IRIB English Radio, assalamu alaikum. Now it's time to listen to a short speech by Sayyid Muhammad Rizvi.
Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَقُلْنَا يَا آدَمَ اسْكُنْ أَنْتَ وَزَوْجُكَ الْجَنَّةِ. O Adam, you and your wife, you know, live here, stay here, dwell in this garden. وَكُلَا مِنْهَا رَغَدًا حَيْسُ شِئْتُمَا. And you can, you know, eat whatever you like freely. Everything is open to you. وَلَا تَقْرَبَ هَذَهِ الشَّجَرَةِ. But there was one exception, one prohibition, that do not go close to this tree. If you do that, فَتَكُونَ مِنَ الظَّالِمِينَ, you will become from the ظَالِمِينَ. Zalim has different meanings. One of the meanings is to put yourself into harm. So Allah says, if you do this, number one, the prohibition is don't go near this tree. But if you do that, means don't eat the fruit of that tree. If you do that, then you will put yourself in harm and difficulty. And this is where we see, you know, then Shaitan approaches Adam and Hawa together. And the rest of the story, you know, they ended up, you know, eating that fruit from the forbidden tree. فَأَزَلَّهُمَا الشَّيْطَانَ عَنْهَا فَأَخْرَجَهُمَا مِمَّا كَانَ فِيهِ. The shaitan made them sleep from that garden. And then he got them out from that state of felicity in which they had been. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you know, helped Adam by teaching him how to do tawbah. And so the ayat goes on. فَطَلَقَّ آدَمَ مِنْ رَبِّهِ كَلِمَاتٍ. So Adam receives some words from his Lord. Receiving here is basically being taught. Now he is taught some words, and he uses those words in asking forgiveness and tawbah. فَتَابَ عَلَيْهِ. This is the first time in history that the word taba is being used. This is the word for tawbah. The question is, when Allah says, فَتَلَقَّ آدَمَ مِنْ رَبِّهِ كَلِمَاتٍ, Adam received some words from his Lord. What were these words? I can give you a long list of ahadith about it, but I'll just dispense here with only two. One from a Sunni source, another from a Shia source. What were these words? Now, there are different kinds of ahadith about it. Some of them are very similar to the dua of Prophet Ayyub, you know, we're praising Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But when you put all this collectively, you come to realize that, you know, you address Allah at that time. But then there is something else. Suyuti is a very famous Sunni mufassir of Quran, and his tafsir is based on what is known as tafsir rivai, based on the narrations from the Prophet, of course, according to their point of view. And he basically has compiled different kinds of ahadith under this ayat. One of them he has from Abdullah ibn Abbas, where he says, سَأَلْتُ رَسُولَ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ أَنِ الْكَلِمَاتِ الَّتِي تَلَقَّاهَا آدَمْ مِنْ رَبِّهِ فَتَابَ عَلَيْهِ. I asked the Prophet about the words that Adam received from his Lord, and then the Lord Taba alayhi turned to him with forgiveness. The Prophet said, Sa'ala, Adam asked for forgiveness. By what words? Sa'ala bihaqqi Muhammadin wa Aliyin wa Fatima wa Hasan. وَالْحُسَيْنِ إِلَّا تُبْتَى عَلَيَّ. In the first tawbah, the issue of tawassul is coming in. We yet have a problem with that. Just go and study the first tawbah. And this is a Sunni source from Abdullah ibn Abbas, where the Prophet is saying, he asked in my name, in the name of Ali, in the name of Fatima, in the name of Hassan and Hussein, that, O Allah, you know, forgive me, fataba alayhi. And I'll come to this. What does it mean? This was a Sunni source. From the Shia source, we have Sheikh Saduq. In his collection known as Ma'ani al-Akhbar, through his chain of narrators going all the way to Sa'id bin Jubair to Abdullah ibn Abbas. Same narrator who is there in the Sunni books, also in the Shia books, but from different chain of narration. He says, سَعَلْتُ النَّبِي عَنِ الْكَلِمَاتِ الَّتِي تَلَقَّاهَا آدَمْ مِنْ رَبِّهِ. I asked the Prophet about the words that Adam received from his Lord, and Allah turned to him with forgiveness. قَالَ سَعَلَهُ. Again, same words. بِحَقِّ مُحَمَّدٍ وَعَلِيٍ وَفَاطِمَا وَالْحَسَنُ وَالْحُسَيْنِ إِلَّا تُبْتَ عَلَيَّ. Allah, I ask you in these names that you forgive me. فَتَابَ اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ. Allah turned to him with forgiveness. Salawat. The Prophet is the last Prophet. He is not yet born. Fatima is not yet born. Ali is not yet born. Hassanain are not there. So what is all this? That's the first question we'll get. And this is where we have to realize that, you know, when it comes to the issue of the creation, even the souls of all human beings were created before. You know, our spiritual existence has been there on the level of ruh and nafs. Nafs, ruh is known as nafs when it is put into the body. The soul by itself, without the body, is called ruh. When it goes into the body, it becomes nafs. There are ahadith that we have from Shia and Sunni sources where there is a very famous statement, even Sunnis in general accept, where the Prophet says, أَوَّلُ مَا خَلَقَ اللَّهُ نُورِي. The first thing that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created was my nur, my light. Not the body. The body came later on. The physical existence came centuries after Adam. But the nur of Muhammad was the first creation. And he says, with the barakat of my nur, Allah created everything else. أَوَّلُ مَا خَلَقَ اللَّهُ نُورِي. And therefore we see that, you know, even in the story of Adam alayhi salam, when he looked around, he saw the arsh of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the throne of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and he saw five lights and anwar over there. And he asked Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, whose lights are these? And this is where he was told, this is the nur of Muhammad. This is the nur of Ali. This is the nur of Fatima. This is the nur of Hassan. And this is the nur of Hussein. And he was actually taught these names in the earlier story. When the malaika objected to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, why you are, you know, making human being your representative and khalifa? We praise you, we worship you, you know, we are more worthier. Initially Allah says, I know, you don't know, just be quiet. Then he organized a kind of a competition between malaika and Adam. وَعَلَّمَ آدَمَ الْأَسْمَاءِ. And Allah taught names to Adam. Not only of these five anwar, many, many other things. Then he asked the malaika. And that is where Allah was able to justify the position of khilafat for a human being, that I have given him the knowledge and the potential of knowledge. You only know whatever I give you. You don't have the ability to, you know, investigate and, you know, increase in that. And so this is where we are talking about the first tawbah in the human history. And it was with the tawassul of Ahlul Kisa, while they were still in the spiritual form.
You're listening to Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran. This program entitled Minbar. Our email address is englishradio@irib.ir.
Rahi Karim Adi Ali Hali Hakim Mati. قيوم رؤوف صبور مجيد. اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد. يا مؤمنين صلوا عليه.
The limelight.
The US dollar slides as Fed rate hike outlook tumbles following the failures of Silicon Valley Bank and Signature Bank recently. In this regard, we have taken a look at world media websites for further details. Stay tuned for more. According to RT, the US dollar index, which measures the greenback against six other major currencies, plunged to near one-month lows recently following a Goldman Sachs forecast that Washington will likely halt rate hikes. According to trading data, the index slid 0.6% to 103.9. Goldman previous forecast predicted a 25 basis point hike at the next Fed meeting in March. The change in expectations came after U.S. regulators recently announced a new emergency program aimed at protecting bank clients following the failures of Silicon Valley Bank and Signature Bank last week. According to a joint statement from U.S. Treasury, Federal Reserve and the Federal Deposit Insurance Corporation, FDIC, they will make a systematic risk exception to allow both insured and uninsured depositors of the failed banks to regain full access to their money. The Fed also separately announced it would make additional funding available for banks in cases of emergency through a new bank term funding program. The measures led investors to predict the Fed may be too busy sorting through the fallout of the bank's failures to raise interest rates in the near term. There is a historic correlation between higher interest rates and failures of over-leveraged financial institutions. Over-leveraging occurs when a business has borrowed too much money and is unable to pay interest payments, principal repayments, or maintain payments for operating expenses due to its debt burden. However, analysts say U.S. inflation data release may also affect the Fed's rate hike plans. The Fed hiked the key rate on more than one occasion in recent months in a bid to rein in soaring inflation. The latest 25 basis point increase was announced on February 1st, bringing the rate to a target range of 4.5%. to 4.75%. Prior to last week, analysts expected at least three more rate hikes this year to bring the indicator to a peak of 5.25% to 5.5%. The New York Times also noted Signature Bank, a New York financial institution with a big real estate lending business that had recently made a play to win cryptocurrency deposits, closed its doors abruptly after regulators said that keeping the bank open could threaten the stability of the entire financial system in the U.S. To some extent, Signature is a victim of the panic around Silicon Valley Bank, which regulators seized. Its closing underscores the challenges that face small and mid-sized banks, which often focus on niche lines of business and have a narrower base of customers than Goliath like JP Morgan Chase or Bank of America. That leaves them especially vulnerable to old-fashioned bank runs. Silicon Valley Bank, a lender to startups, imploded recently after some ill-timed financial decisions left it struggling to meet customer withdrawal requests. And just as a slowing venture capital funding prompted fledgling companies to tap their accounts more. Similarly, Signature became one of the few banks to welcome cryptocurrency deposits just before the overheated industry blew up last year. As word about Silicon Valley Bank's troubles began to spread last week, business customers of Signature began calling the bank, asking if their deposits were safe. Many were worried that their deposits could be at risk because, like business customers of Silicon Valley, most had more than $250,000 in their accounts. The Federal Deposit Insurance Corporation, the entity that sees Silicon Valley, insures deposits only up to $250,000. In announcing the closure of Signature, regulators said that customers of both banks would be made whole regardless of how much they held in their accounts. Many depositors at these banks are small businesses, including those driving the innovation economy, and their success is key to New York's robust economy, Governor Katie Hochul of New York said in a statement. But recently, with customers panicking about their money, Signature saw a torrent of deposits leaving its coffers, according to a person with knowledge of the matter. Its stock, along with the stocks of some of its peers, also continue to tank. Still, the bank's leaders expected to be able to weather the storm because the outflows had slowed, the person said, when regulators told bank executives that they were effectively seizing the bank, which had 40 branches across the country. Some of them were shocked. In shuttering the bank, New York bank regulators, acting in concert with the FDIC, also removed its executive team. The demise of Signature, with assets of under $100 billion, is a blow to many of the professional services firms that have come to rely on it. The bank, long specialized in providing banking services to law firms, providing escrow accounts for holding clients' money and other services.
IRIB English Radio presents Viewpoints.
The presence of different scholars.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Assalamu alaikum to the listeners of IRIB English Radio Color of Islam page. Well, welcome to another episode of the program Viewpoints. I am Atta, the host of this program. Within the studio are two guest speakers from the Islamic House of Qom, Sayyid Mohsen Naqvi and Shaykh Rouhani. Sayyid Mohsen, assalamu alaikum. Welcome to the show.
Alaikum assalam wa rahmatullah. Thanks for inviting.
And Shaykh Rouhani, assalamu alaikum to you.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
The New Year's festival, according to the Persian calendar, is called Nowruz. Nowruz means Nowruz, Ruz and No, new day. And the Nowruz, or the new year of the Persians, starts at the, we can say, season of spring. At the first day of the month of Farvardin, the new year, the Iranian new year and calendar starts, and the Iranian celebrates and the Persian celebrates their new year with the coming of the spring of the nature is over there, everything becomes green, the weather is really good, and the people try to enjoy the timing at the New Year's festival at Nowruz. Now, the question is that, is there any specific recommendation in the religion of Islam to approve, for example, Nowruz or the New Year? And the second question is there, how to create the spring of the soul? Now we have the spring of the season. How to be refreshed inside our spirit and spiritually speaking. Sayyid Mohsen, let's start with you, brother.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. We have a couple of narrations. For example, there is one narration from Imam Sadiq alayhi salam where he is teaching Mu'alla bin Khunais. He tells him that when there is a new day, which is the new year, Nowruz, yes, actually, on that day, you must have a ghusl or perform the bath, clean yourself, put on new clothes. Mm-hmm. And the main idea is, instead of new clothes, the word is used, the pure clothes.
Yes.
The pure means it should be new, or maybe it's the clean clothes. That's what you need to do. And after that, it is recommended to fast on that day and also to pray Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. There is a specific prayer in which we recite Surah Al-Hamd, and then there is Surah Al-Kafirun, Surah Al-Ikhlas, Surah Al-Falaq and Surah Al-Nas.
Okay.
So these are recommended, and there are a couple of, you know, prayers or supplications as well that we perform on this.
Yes.
The main thing is that what Imam says is after you perform all this, you need to thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and read a supplication. What does it mean actually, you know, when we talk about the new year? The new year means that this new year is about to start. Either it's the lunar year, maybe it's the solar, according to the, you know, the like the English calendar that we have, or maybe Persian calendar that we have.
There are different New Year's festivals according to different.
But the main
calendars.
Idea is because this is something in the culture, and it's starting, we are celebrating this New Year. This New Year should start with purifying yourself, getting close to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and not to get involved in the sins. This is very important.
Very good.
Especially, you know, when the new year comes, we know that, especially like, you know, when the English calendar, we see there are many people, they get involved into the sins. There's drinking, there's dancing, there's, I don't know, there are many things.
Yes.
Whereas this new year, when you are celebrating, it means that Allah has give you a chance to start another year.
Yes.
The past year is gone.
Yes.
And we need to sit and think what we have done in this past year.
This is a very beautiful point that are the people are really reminded of the blessings that Allah give them? I've been giving them another year, giving them another life. During pandemic, we could see that, for example, in COVID-19 pandemic, so many people lost their families.
Yes.
So they could not see the next year. Now you are given the new year. How do you take a new look at your life now? This is really very important. That's all right. Okay, I will get back to more suggestions on according to Islamic teachings. But Shaykh Rouhani, so how to start a new year? One of them was, for example, avoiding the sins. What else can we do in order to have a better, new year according to Islamic teachings?
Yes, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. I think this term, Nowruz, or which is also termed in Arabic hadith Nehruz, the Arabized one, is Nehruz. Nehruz, as you rightly mentioned, it means the new day.
Yes.
We should not wait till the year ends to start a new year.
Okay.
Rather, every day we should have a new day.
Mm-hmm.
You know, every day we should have Nehruz.
Okay.
Because 2 days of our life should not be the same.
Oh, very good.
In our hadith, in our narrations, it's mentioned that the 2 days should not be the same. Second day, I mean, the next day, you have to improve. You have to perfect yourself. You have to gain and achieve more achievements.
Yes.
So if the 2 days are the similar days, the same days, it means that you did not improve. You did not perfect. You did not achieve anything.
Okay.
So that's why every day of us should be Nowruz.
Yes.
This concept is mentioned, this kind of phrases we have in some of the riwayat. That is narrated that the Holy Prophet said that every day could be Nowruz. You know, because at the time of the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, you see that Yemen was part of Persia.
Oh,
Yemen.
Okay.
Was part of Persia.
Okay.
And actually, Yemen, the Yemeni people were called Persian people because lots of Persian people were living there.
Really?
Yeah, and they were going to Mecca and Medina.
You know, the Prophet sent the letter to the Persian emperor.
Yes.
He sent a delegation from the Yemen.
Yemen.
Because they knew Arabic.
Yeah.
Oh.
Towards Medina.
Yeah, of course, yeah.
And there, Prophet said, like, when you go back, your king will be died and his son will take over.
Yeah. That's right. Because this Bahrain, Yemen, and these, all these areas were
part of the Great Persia.
Of course,
Okay.
So that's why Persian people used to go to Mecca, to Medina at the time of the Holy Prophet.
Very good.
It is mentioned that once these Iranians, these Persian people, went to the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and presented him some gifts on the day of Nowruz. And then the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam accepted the gifts and appreciated them.
Okay.
And said something about Nowruz.
Okay.
That is a bit long. The audience can refer to this. This is very nice.
Okay.
That Prophet mentioned some points about Nowruz.
Okay.
And it seems that Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam did not oppose
Nowruz.
This day, to celebrate this day. Yes. And also Imam Ali alayhi salatu wasalam.
Okay.
Because at the time of Imam Ali alayhi salatu wasalam in Kufa, there were many Persians.
Yes.
Yeah, non-Arabs were living there with Amir al-Mu'minin Ali alayhi salatu wasalam. The same thing happened to Ali alayhi salatu wasalam.
Mm-hmm.
The people went to Imam Ali alayhi salatu wasalam and gifted him. on the day of Nowruz, some things. And then Imam Ali ﷺ accepted.
Okay.
Accepted the gifts and praised and appreciated them.
Mm-hmm.
And also a very nice riwayah which is narrated from Imam al-Sadiq ﷺ.
Yes.
It is very nice.
Yes.
Some of the companions of the Holy the Imam ﷺ referred to the Imam asking about a person, a farmer, who celebrated the day of Mehrigan or Mehrijan.
Yes.
Which is the same as the day of Nowruz.
Yes.
He said that this man celebrated this day,
okay.
And in this day he presented some gifts to some friends as well as us, or
yes.
Maybe sometimes he come to you and give mm-hmm. you something. Would you accept or not to celebrate this way the day of Nowruz? Imam Sadiq alayhi salatu wasalam here gave us a very key kind of solution. Says that, is that person is Muslim? He said, yes, he's Muslim. He's saying the prayers, performing fasting, whatever. Says that if he is Muslim, you have to accept
mm-hmm.
the gifts.
Okay.
You know, Imam says that we cannot accept the gifts or hadaya or tuhfa from non-Muslims.
Yes.
From disbelievers.
Okay.
If they are Muslims, you have to accept. And
yes.
There's no problem with that.
Yes.
You can celebrate this way, that day with them.
What we see nowadays is that the Persians, we can say celebrate their Nowruz, as they say, but they are Muslims. They are Shia Muslims, okay?
Yes.
So there is no contradiction. We could not see any contrast or contradiction
yes.
between these two important rituals,
yeah.
one of them national, one of them religious.
Yeah.
Okay.
It is from the Shiite perspective.
Yes.
But if you look at from the Sunnite perspective
uh-huh.
to Nowruz, we see that particularly Khulafa'i Abbasi, the
mm-hmm.
Abbasid caliphs,
okay.
they did not have any problem with Nowruz.
Mm-hmm.
Even some of them celebrated Nowruz.
Okay.
So these Abbasid caliphs were Sunnis.
Yes.
So they followed the Sunni teachings and doctrines. According to them, there was, again, no problem with Nowruz.
Mm-hmm.
You know? And the other point is that what do we do in Nowruz exactly?
Yes.
We do, for example, we wear new, for example, fresh kind of clothing. New clothing,
yes.
Yeah.
We put
so,
perfume.
Yeah,
we do Salat Rahim.
Yeah, we do Ahsantum, Salatul Arham, visit, for example.
Right.
And we visit, for example, our relatives.
Yes.
And or, for example, we gift.
The gift, yes.
The people, the friends.
I could exactly remember when I was a
yes.
kid, I go, for example, to my grandparents' house, there was always a kind of AD, okay? It was usually the new bills,
yes.
okay?
Yes.
But where? This is important. Inside the Holy Quran,
yes.
okay? He just took out the new bills from inside the pocket of the Holy Quran, just
yes.
blessed it with the Holy Quran, put a dua on it or something like that, and give it to the,
yes.
to give you barakah in life
course,
or something
yes.
like that. That's
just
right.
One point that should be mentioned is that it is not an Islami Eid. You know,
yes, it
Islami
is not.
Eid, we have Eid al-Fitr, Eid al-Adha, Eid al-Jum'ah, and Eid al-Ghadir.
Eid al-Ghadir,
so
right.
these four Eids are there.
Yes, yes, yes.
So as the Islamic rituals, as Islamic Eid, we cannot term it as Islamic Eid.
Islamic, no, it's not.
But if we celebrate this day as a day that we go, for example, we go to our parents, respect them,
yes.
and gift them,
yes.
or relatives,
yes.
brothers, sisters,
yes, yes.
relatives, there's no problem with that, you know?
But just take a look at the spirit. I mean, spiritually speaking, there are so many lessons in Nowruz, which are in harmony with Islamic teachings.
Yes,
just look at the ayat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on earth.
Yes, yes.
How the earth is green again.
Yes,
just look at the trees. Look
yeah,
at the fruits.
Yeah, yeah.
We know that, for example, the Persians has put sabze. It is a kind of, for example, piece of grass, for example, in the dinner table. They put
yeah.
it over there. All these ayat, you know, and these signs of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when you refer to them, show us that, okay, the season of spring has come. What about the spring of your soul? How do you refresh yourself
yes.
inside?
Yes,
this is very
yes.
important.
The final conclusion that I can make is this, that since the Holy Prophet and Amir al-Mu'minin
mm-hmm.
and Imam al-Sadiq and the other Imams did not explicitly reject
yes.
or oppose this day, so there is no problem to celebrate this day.
Okay.
But of course, if in some of our hadith or riwayat,
mm-hmm.
we are told not to celebrate this day,
okay.
it is because of this, I think, that we should not consider it as Eid al-Islam.
Eid al-Islam, yes.
Yeah, and that will be
yes.
something fabricated or something bid'ah, yeah?
Okay.
That's not true.
Yes.
But if you just celebrate like other rituals that there is no, let's say, problem with that from the
yes.
Islamic perspective, that we can celebrate
okay.
that.
That's
yes.
right. So how to recreate the spring of soul, Sayyid? This is also important. I mean, for example, in the season of spring, we create or recreate, for example, the spring of the soul. How to do that?
Well, obviously, from the teachings of Islam or Imam Sadiq alayhi salam, what we see, you know, the narration which was narrating, that Imam Sadiq has said when you put your new clothes on the new year, mm-hmm. go to the sajda and read this dua. Now, dua starts with the praising of Ahlul Bayt, alayhi salatu wa salam, saying a salawat on Muhammad wa Ali Muhammad.
Okay.
And after that, there is a specific prayer. And that is, which says that, O Allah, barak lana.
Mm-hmm.
Fi yawmina hadha alladhi, make this blessed day for us, make it blessed day. Why? Because this day is a new day which you have given, you know, honor to this day. And the important prayer here is Allahumma barik li fima an'amta bihi.
Yes.
You know, we have two words, ni'ma and baraka.
Mm-hmm.
There's a difference in it.
Yes.
In this we are praying to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because this is a new year, you have given us some ni'ma, which generally is translated as the, you know, the bounty or the blessing. You need to, oh Allah, give barakah to this ni'mah.
Mm-hmm.
You know, sometimes we have ni'mah.
Yes.
We have blessings.
Blessings.
But barakah is something that, you know, saves it more. For example,
yes.
You
do strengthening the
strengthening
effects.
It's yes. Yes, strengthening. On the other hand, sometimes I have less money.
Yes.
But I have a healthy, you know,
family. That's right.
You know, sometimes people have a lot of money, but they have many diseases, they are ill. They spend their money in unnecessary things, mm-hmm. unnecessary spendings, okay. You know, expenses.
That's right.
This is, barakah means that the things that you have, the money or the sustenance you have,
that's right.
In that, obviously, you have barakah. It is enough for you, even if it is less.
Thankful to them.
Yes.
You have to be thankful.
We need to be thankful for that.
Yes.
And obviously, in that, you know, there is like, it says like, the prayer says, مَا غَابَ عَنِّي فَلَا يَغِيبَنَّ عَنِّي. It says that whatever is hidden for me, I pray that فَلَا يَغِيبَنَّ عَنِّي عَوْنُكَ وَحِفْزُكَ, that your help and your protection does not disappear from me.
Mm-hmm.
This is an importance that you give to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And after that, it is said, like, whatever has been gone from me, I have no, you know, we can say grieve of that. But the important thing is your help should not be, you know, taken away from me. And the things that are hard to achieve, don't put me in those things.
Yes.
This is also important. You know, yes. Sometimes we have people who work 24-hour, maybe, you know, 24-7.
Yes.
We say this because they're working in the morning, they have a night job, they're working on the weekend, and at the end they have no savings.
Yes.
It means that he's struggling a lot. He's earning a lot, but there's no saving for him. Why? Because he does not have that barakah. On the other hand, when we talk about the Nowruz and the importance of the Nowruz,
yes.
Obviously, spiritually, it is the spring of the spirit as well.
Mm-hmm.
We should...
The Rabi of the spirit, that's right.
Obviously, it is said about the Ramadan as well. The Ramadan is the month of Ramadan.
Yes.
Is the Rabi of the soul, Rabi of the Quran,
yes.
The spring of the Quran and the soul. But Nowruz as well, the new year, we can have a new, you know, we can get new energy.
That's right.
We can have a new start.
Yes.
You know, the things that we have done in the previous year. You know, one of the important things is in order to have the, you know, this new spring or soul spring.
Yes.
The important thing is that we must put accountable ourselves,
yes.
for what we have done in the past.
That's right.
We must accept our mistakes.
Yes.
We should think that next time, how can I avoid these things,
mm-hmm.
and how to make better?
That's right.
This is important because, you okay. know, generally, we never think about ourselves. The Urafa, they have said that if you want to, you know, if you want to have advance in your life, it is necessary that every night you think about your actions during
right.
the day.
Okay.
And if someone cannot do that, at least we can do that during the at the end of the year, so that the new year that we will start, inshallah, it will be really a new year for ourselves, for our souls.
That's right.
And as rightly mentioned, that our past year shouldn't be same as the next year.
And that's why most of the Persians and Iranians start the new year, the new Persian year, with this dua, Ya Mughallab al-Ghulub wal-Absar, Ya Mudabbar al-Layla wal-Nahar, Ya Muhawwal al-Hawl wal-Ahwal, Hawwal halana ila al-Ahsan hal, O changer of the hearts and the eyes, or the administrators of the nights and the days, O the changer of the feelings, okay, and the feelings and surroundings, change our mood and our feelings into the best ones, into the best that you desire, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Everything is in your hand. You are Mudabbir al-Umur. You are the administrator of all the affairs in the world. Inshallah, the Persians have a good new year, and this year would be a good year for them by the blessings of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Thank you very much, Sayyid Mohsen Nawi and Shaykh Rouhani. Thank you very much. And thank you very much, dear listeners. Again, we congratulate all the Persians, the Muslim Persians across the world, on the New Year's Festival or Nowruz. To all of them, may you have a nice year ahead of you, a healthy year. May it be the year of the reappearance of Imam As, inshallah. And may we find the true spring of soul in this year, inshallah. Thank you very much for listening to us. God bless you all. Fi amanallah.
I know that you could easily take away everything you've given me, and I try to remember not to take anything for granted.
Thank you, dear listeners of IRIB English Radio, for listening to this episode of Viewpoints. Please don't forget to log on to our website at parsetoday.ir. Until next time, wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.
Allah, ya Allah, guide me all the way to your Jannah. Ya Allah, don't let me go astray, cause I need you by my side. I wish to be close to you throughout my life, ya Allah, oh Allah, be with me all the way.
You have just listened to the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran broadcasting. The Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran is broadcast daily round the clock for listeners across the globe. The Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran can be heard via the internet, shortwave, FM, and satellite. Our listeners in the Indian subcontinent can listen to the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran via shortwave 31 meters, 9,650 kilohertz, every day from 1520 to 1620 UTC. Also, our listeners in Europe can tune in to the English service of the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran via shortwave 49 meters, 6040 kilohertz, and in Southern Africa via shortwave 25 meters, 11880 kilohertz, every day from 1920 to 2020 UTC. Our listeners in Tehran can also listen to our programs via FM 91.5 MHz. You can also listen to the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran on Hotbird, Eutelsat 3B, and Iran Sat or Bat 5, and via the internet. Our internet address is parstoday.ir/en. And now you can listen to IRIB English Radio via your mobile phone. Please refer to our website for the details. Please send your correspondence to the English program, PO Box number 19395-6767, Tehran, Islamic Republic of Iran, or email us to englishradio@irib.ir. We would be very pleased to have your comments about audio quality and other means. Thank you.
وَقَضَى رَبُّكَ أَلَّا تَعْبُدُوا إِلَّا إِيَّاهُ وَبِالْوَالِدَيْنِ إِحْسَانًا.
Your Lord has decreed that you shall not worship anyone except Him, and He has enjoined
kindness to parents.
For humanity.
Sayyid Abdullah Al-Musawi.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان اللعين الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين وصلى الله على محمد وآل بيته الطيبين الطاهرين brothers, sisters, dear listeners السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته and welcome to the program for humanity. We are looking at virtues that me and you need to have in order to be good human beings and in order to treat one another fairly and in a humane manner, because we're trying to relate everything to human rights. The verse in the Quran in chapter Al-Baqarah, chapter 2, verse 153, Allah says, يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا إِسْتَعِينُوا بِالصَّبْرِ وَالصَّلَاةِ إِنَّ اللَّهَ مَعَ الصَّابِرِينَ All who you believe, use and exercise patience. Use it as a means of help, to help you, and also prayer. For Allah indeed is with those who are patient. When we look at patience, we said it is a virtue that can contribute to the promotion and protection of human rights in various ways. For example, having patience can help us remain calm in the face of adversity, injustice, allowing us to think more clearly and respond more effectively to any situation. One day the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wa alihi wasallam was walking with his companions and they saw this man, a very well built man in terms of physique, and he was carrying big rocks, and the people said, Oh, Ya Rasulullah, look how strong he is. He says, إِنَّمَا الشَّدِيدُ بِالصَّرْعَ He, the shiddah, is not, comes from the body. But he says, الشَّدِيدُ عَنْدَ الْغَضَ الَّذِي يَمْسُكُ نَفْسَهُ عَنْدَ الْغَضَبِ He who controls himself at a moment's anger. When we get angry, we don't know what to say. We don't know what comes out of our mouths. We don't know how to react. Because anger, according to Amir al-Mu'mineen, Ali ibn Abi Talib alayhi salam, he says, anger is a touch of madness. You're no longer in control of your brain. So when you get angry, when I get angry, we lose focus. And we act in ways that we will regret later. Therefore, exercising patience and sabr, when we are faced with difficulties, it gives us that time, that space, to think and to clearly respond. And also it helps me and you avoid impulsive or harmful action that could lead to further violation of our human rights. I retaliate, you retaliate, and the more I do, the more you do, and the problem just grows bigger. And this is what we see in wars usually happens. It starts with something very small. The other party do not exercise patience. They retaliate. This retaliation becomes even bigger. And wars starts based on that. But if people exercise patience, it will help to preserve human rights. So preserving our efforts to promote and protect human rights, even in the face of obstacles and setbacks, because we are not immune to obstacles and setbacks, but so it preserves it, that effort that we put. It also engage in peaceful and constructive dialogue, which is what we need. If I am patient and you are patient, then we can have a dialogue. We can sit and talk and discuss things. But when we don't, then we resort to violence. Let us take a short break and then we will come back and we will continue.
Dear listeners, you are listening to the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran. You can send us your emails, comments, and questions at englishradio@irib.ir.
Welcome back, brothers and sisters, and you are listening to the program for humanity. So we are looking at patience being a tool that we can use in order to maintain human rights. So when we exercise patience, we engage in a peaceful, constructive dialogue with those who may have different views or interests, fostering a mutual understanding and respect. And this is the ultimate goal that me and you need to have, which is a great benefit of having patience. When we are patient, in fact, we are doing other things as well. For example, we are doing self-control. We control ourselves. Self-control, and not just that, but also we have empathy towards others, which sadly a lot of people lack these days. We lack the empathy towards others. So the minute any human being provokes me, instead of me trying to understand their circumstances, their backgrounds, things might have gone wrong for them, whatever he did, maybe he did not mean it, I jump to conclusion and I react without having empathy towards others. Even those who may have caused harm or offense, which contributes to resulting to the breakups and the division that we have, instead of trying to heal, trying to fix, trying to mend our wounds. So especially when it comes to the people around us, because we seem to lose our temper, our self-control with those who are closest to us. For example, our spouses, our children, our parents, our siblings, our friends. So we kind of lose self-control with them and we don't show empathy towards them. So having patience gives me that self-control. It gives me that empathy that I can use in order to have a more peaceful environment and obviously maintain the human right. Therefore, developing the quality of patience can be valuable too in advancing the cause of human rights and creating a more just and peaceful society. So next time you look at these virtues in the Quran, be it ihsan that we spoke about, being good, or be it taqwa, piety and fear of Allah, don't think they are just metaphorical or theoretical or just concepts. Actually, they are very practical. All these traits that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants me to have, He wants me to practice them. So how do I practice taqwa? How do I practice ihsan? How do I practice sabr? Is when I deal with you. When you deal with me, I keep the limitations of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I don't transgress when it comes to you. Allah tells me that I have to be good to you, which means whatever I love for myself, I would love for you. That's ihsan. And if it happens that one day you wake up on the wrong side of the bed and you want to have a go at me, then my response should be patience, sabr, and act wisely and act calmly and try to de-escalate the situation instead of making it even worse. So keep that point in mind next time things like that happen. Thank you for listening. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammadin wa alihi. Allahumma salli ala محمد وآله.
in the limelight.
In Britain, record high inflation has caused soaring prices and a cost of living crisis. Additionally, many workers have gone on strike because of the cost of living crisis. We take a look at the world media's coverage of this issue. Please stay with us. The British newspaper The Independent has covered this story and tells us more. A new survey has revealed 1 in 5 students at UK top universities are considering dropping out because of the worsening cost of living crisis across the country, and 1/4 are regularly going without food and other essentials. New research by the Russell Group Students' Union, which represents 24 of Britain's most elite higher education institutions, suggests that more than 20% of the students at high-ranking universities such as University College London and Edinburgh University are under the intense pressure of soaring prices, being forced to quit their studies. More than half of those surveyed said they are experiencing concentration problems caused by poor nourishment and financial stress, as their academic performance is negatively influenced by the deepening crisis. The survey of more than 8,500 university students carried out in the first 2 months of this year also found some students feeling suicidal, suffering from severe anxiety and loneliness. Some said their families were not turning on the heating at home so that their student children could eat. Dr. Tim Bradshaw, the Russell Group's chief executive, depicted the finding of the study as worrying and said they're yet to get worse. He called on the government to take urgent action by addressing flaws in the maintenance loan system and raising loans in line with soaring inflation. The group also called on the government to consider reintroducing maintenance grants or hardship loan support for students who are grappling with the country's deteriorating economic situation. The damning report also revealed that the proportion of students who were considering dropping out of university rose to more than 3 in 10 among the most socio-economically disadvantaged. According to researchers, the current economic failure across the country could lead to universities being only open to the most privileged students, undoing the progress on broadening higher education access. Danny Bradford, Policy and Research Manager at Students' Union, University College London, who led the research, said, "We're really running a risk where our university system is only open to the most privileged students." The British newspaper The Guardian has also covered this story and tells us more. A leading investigation company on consumer affairs has warned 1 in 7 people in the United Kingdom skip meals and sit in cold homes due to the worsening cost of living crisis. According to the latest findings from Which? Consumer Insight Tracker, an alarming number of British households are going without food and cannot afford their energy bills, as rising inflation and high energy costs put pressure on incomes. The findings also suggest that almost 1 in 10 Britons had prioritised meals for other family members above themselves. A 72-year-old citizen from West Suffolk told Which? That the last week of the month, meals are missed. If you have no money for a loaf of bread, then there's no lunch, and if there's no milk, then there's no breakfast. She complained, "Basic groceries have gone up to stupid levels. The loaf of bread I usually buy has gotten smaller and more expensive." Inflation in Britain's grocery market has soared to a record high of 17.1%, hitting prices for milk and eggs the hardest this month. According to market researcher Kantar, this could increase the cost of a family's typical buying basket by £811 a year. Tesco, Britain's biggest supermarket chain, said recently that it had temporarily capped the number of packs of tomato, pepper and cucumber to 3 per customer. It blamed poor weather in Spain and North Africa for the shortages that the British government